I don't know about you, but I'm enjoying the creative arts of our church right now. All right, so this character guy is really he's funny. By the way, I'm still chuckling. I love how he said maybe pastor should go hunting for a new job. That cracked me up. Well done, team. So this character guy is really setting us up for this series that we're in called ROI, Return on Investment. And so what we're really, honestly, what we're kind of looking at is like, we don't want to be that guy. We want to be different kinds of people. We want to be the kinds of people that invest well. Amen, everybody. And so I want to get started. Are you ready to go? There's message notes available for you. If you want to follow along, you can do that. But I want to take you right to the verse that got all this started for me. It's found in Proverbs chapter 21, verse 20. Here's what the Bible says, that the wise man saves for the future, but the foolish man spends whatever he gets. He spends all that he has. Now, when I read this verse months ago, it was the inspiration of the series that we're in. And to be quite honest with you, when I read it, I did not see it in the context of money. I actually saw it in all kinds of different contexts. Because if I was to ask everybody here, if I was to ask those at church online, if I was to say, hey, everybody, how many of you have endless amounts of money? Nobody's hand would raise. Okay, fine. How many of you guys have endless amounts of time? No one's hand would be raised. Okay, fine. How many of you guys have endless amounts of energy? Once again, no one's hands would go up unless they're in a toddler room, and they don't count right now. If I said, how many of you guys have endless amounts of talent? You can do all things really, really well. Again, no one's hands would go up. And here's what started to happen inside my mind is the things that we possess that have limitations have to be stewarded well. And not just my money. That's an important thing, but it's got to be more than that, doesn't it? My mindset has to be stewarded because as much as it pains me to say, that thing has limitations. And some of you know me and you're like, amen. That thing has a lot of limitations. But I got into this idea of stewardship and the fact that because certain things don't have endless capacities, then those things have to be managed well. And what I recognized is what the Bible says, that a wise person has some reserve. They have some in the storehouse. They've got energy left over. They have time in margin. They have money in savings. They have healthy thought patterns in their normal. They actually have some reserves. It is the fool that spends all that they have, all their money, all their time, all their energy. And that's what we're talking about in this series, is how to become stewards of the limited things, because we want to get the very best return on our investment. Are you with me? All right, so today, what we're going to talk about is this. We're going to talk about your gifting, or as Guy said it in our video, your talent. We have some talent, some gifting, some abilities, and I want to talk a little bit about that. You guys ready? You awake this morning in the 9:30? You awake? We have coffee for you. We'll bring it to you. Everybody good? All right, I'm going to take you to this verse that I really, really love this verse. It's King David, the warrior, David, who led the people of Israel. And here's what he says in Psalm 139, verses 13 and 14. He's speaking in a prayer to God, and he says, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. And then he says this, and this is the beautiful part. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. And watch this. How well I know it. Like, I know it full well. Let me rephrase it a couple of ways that, like, I get it. I really understand it. What I really, really like about this verse is that David, he's not being arrogant here. He's being self-aware. He's actually being very humble here, because what he starts to declare is like, God, you put me together a certain way. Like, you made me. So you gave me certain things, and you gave me a certain personality and certain talents and abilities and giftings and the things that I have, and I understand it. And here's the problem with a lot of people is that God put us together, fabricated us, molded us, gave us everything that makes us who we are, and we don't even know it. Like we're trying to find ourselves or figure it out. Many people, when they look at themselves in the mirror, quite frankly, they don't even like what they see. And so can I talk about that today? So there's a couple things that make us up, right? That make who we are. One of those is like natural aptitudes. These are things that you just, like you were born with them. You're good at it. Like for example, some people are just naturally athletic. You give them a ball and they can just do it. You know, like they just figure it out. Some people are naturally musical. They have a musical inclination. Like you hand them an instrument and they can just sort of figure it out. I know several people in my life that they're like self-taught musicians. They didn't go to classes or school. They picked up an instrument, they figured it out, and now they play stuff. You know what I mean? It's very, very impressive. That's not my gifting. That's not my talent. Although I don't want to brag here or anything, but I play a perfect Spotify. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Outside of that, music's not my thing, but for some people, it's natural to them. It just comes to them. Some people are really, really good at math, like numbers. They see numbers, they think in numbers. It's their natural aptitude. They just figure it out. You know what I mean? Like me, I got to take my shoes off, use my toes. I got to have some paper and write some stuff. Some people are really good with words. They like arts and they're just good. They can communicate, right? We all have natural aptitudes. Are you tracking with me? Everybody. Like you might say it this way, they have a knack for it. Like, oh, they just do that. Like they're just so good. Maybe they're artistic. And you're like, man, I can't draw a stick figure person. And you just painted some portrait. It's unbelievable. Or you just created something, you know, whatever, because they have this aptitude to do art. Now that's one thing, natural aptitude. How many of you guys could identify for yourself, think in your mind, like, yeah, okay, there's some things I'm just good at. Some people are just good at business. Like they just get it done. They don't want to work for somebody. They want to work for themselves. They want to wear the pressure. It's natural for them. For others, that's not natural. Scares them to death. You with me, right? Everybody with me this morning? You gonna talk back some? It helped me. I mean, I don't need it to preach, but it helps me preach. Come on, right? But then there's a whole other side of people that are following Christ Jesus. It's not just that they have some natural aptitudes that they were given. They also have what's called spiritual gifts. All right, when we step into a personal relationship with Jesus, we become a member of God's family. We become sons and daughters of the Most High King. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit gives certain spiritual giftings to people so that they can further advance the kingdom of God. They can advance what God's mission is in the earth. Now, these giftings are not natural aptitudes. You weren't born with them. They're spiritual empowerments that God gives you. I'm going to use some old school church language. Don't let this scare you, but you actually have an anointing to do it. So it's way bigger than you. In your own self, you could never do that, but with the power of the Holy Spirit, you do it amazingly. It's a gifting from the Spirit of God, and this is what makes the body of Christ function well. I just want to give you some examples of spiritual giftings, right? I'm going to give you a little list. This is not exhaustive. It's just some examples. One might be the gift of exhortation. This just means, and I don't have a lot of time to like go deep, okay? I'm gonna move quick, but this just means that you encourage. You're just glass is always half full. You know, you're always upbeat and you just encourage people. I mean, you're just the person that notices their new haircut. You're the person that sees the shoes or the shirt, or you see an ability in them. Man, I love how you handled that situation with your kid. That was amazing. Like, you're a good mom, right? Like, that's you. That's you. You have the gift of exhortation. Some people have the gift of giving. It's natural for them. It's like they're always ready. Somehow they see need before anybody else can see need. It's like they're listening for it. They hold in reserve some resources to bless people. They're just waiting on the opportunity. They have a gift for it. In fact, they love it. They enjoy it. Some of you, it kills you. Come on, right? But those with that spiritual gifting, they can't wait to do it. It lifts them to a whole new level. Some people have the gift of leadership, right? They just take charge. They're okay to be in command. They will wear the weight and the pressure. They're not intimidated to make a decision and it go wrong, knowing that the decision and the outfall would be on them. They just naturally do it. If there's a problem, they step in. I can fix this, right? It's a spiritual gifting. Here's the only one, by the way, that the Bible emphasizes at all, and that is prophecy. This is one that scares people. Let's talk about it for a second, because the Spirit of God gives people a prophetic gifting, meaning that they actually will hear from the Lord in terms of what's going to happen or going to happen in someone's life. Some people see things like in pictures. So it's like, well, God showed me this imagery and this picture, and I saw a tree, and then I saw you, and I saw, you know, whatever. And then they'll share this with people, and that picture can deeply resonate with people. Like, oh, you have no idea. Like, that makes perfect sense to me. I needed that. That helps me with a decision I'm making or whatever. They might have an insight from the Holy Spirit to know that, like, God is on the move and he's going to do something. They'll declare that prophetically. Come on, right? Like, we believe in that stuff around our church. Amen. And so that's a gifting. Another one is discernment. You just read situations or you just read people really, really well. You everybody could love them, but there's something inside of you like, I don't know. Like, I know they seem great, but like, let's just slow down. Let's be really careful. You discern people or you discern situations. You just walk into a room and you just be like, it feels really weird in here. Like, what's going on? You discern things well. And that obviously works in reverse, that like, everybody's given up on this person. Nobody believes in them, but you're like, oh no. Oh, no. I discern greatness in this person. I actually see something that needs to be spoken life into and cultivated. You just read situations. You read people well. Another one is the gift of healing. Some people have the gift, man, from God to just lay hands on people, pray over them, and supernatural things happen. They see God move in miraculous ways. Some people, the gift of evangelism. We have a guy in our church. I know I'm talking really fast. We have a guy in our church. He gets phone calls from people in other countries trying to scam him out of money. How many of you guys love those calls? And to my knowledge so far this year, like, he just changed his approach. And when they call him, he'll be like, I'm so glad you called. This is a divine appointment because I want to share the hope of Jesus with you today. He's led two people in other countries to Jesus over the phone. They're trying to steal from him, and he's given them the greatest gift of all time. It's an evangelistic gifting. He communicates the hope of Christ in such a life-giving way that people want that. It's an evangelism gift. Another one is the gift of faith, man. You just believe for it. I mean, you, like, everybody else is like, this is crazy. Don't do this. You are like, God is going to provide. Come on, let's sell the house. Let's move to the city. Like, whatever. It's a gift of faith. Okay, this is just a couple examples. All I wanted to do was just bump some. But here's what I want you to see, is that God gives us these. And they're empowerments from the Holy Spirit that help us, back up, that help us to serve people. They help us make a difference. And here, like, this is important. You got to see this. The Bible says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit. So here's what I want to say to our church family, that we should be eagerly looking for, God, what is my gifting? Spirit of God, what do you want to place on the inside of me that can make a difference in someone else's life? What is it, God, that you want to anoint me to do, to empower me to do, that I can go serve others and make a difference in the kingdom of God? Let me say it this way. We need this as followers of Jesus, because in and of ourselves, we're never going to make it. Come on, right? Amen. We're never going to make it. And so here's what I want to do. I want to take this idea this morning, this idea of my natural aptitudes and the things that I was born with, like my personality and the, like, right? Like, just who you are. You're good with numbers. You have a knack for music, and you're an extrovert. That's your natural aptitudes. That's your makeup. We like to say it this way at Church on the Rock, that people's design reveals their destiny. I think that the way that you are is the way that God wants to use you. So God uses me to communicate because I like it. I love people. Like, I like being around people. I want, like, the room to be full. I try to be the life of every party. Like, I just want to be I just love people. And there are others of you that you're like, dear God, put me in a quiet room. Far, far away from any of you. You know, right? But see, you're wired differently. God put you together in a different way And that design points to how God wants to use you. Now we take those natural aptitudes, we start walking with Jesus, and then he wants to empower us or gift us to do things that he empowers and that he inspires for us to do to make a difference in the lives of other people. But I want to take you to a verse, and this is where we're going to get into the crux, the meat of everything today. 1 Peter 4:10, each of you should use whatever gift you've received. I just like that. We should use our giftings. I got one person. Yes. We should use our giftings. Yes. We should. Whichever ones we've received to serve others as faithful, and here's the word, stewards of God's grace in his various forms. This word popped to me, that stewardship is important when it comes to my gifting or it comes to my talent. And so I think that there are three categories today that I want to describe. It's kind of like there's three sides to every story. You ever heard that? Your side, their side, and the truth. Okay? I'm going to describe three categories of people today when it comes to our giftings and the way that we steward them. And so some of us have some natural aptitudes and some spiritual giftings, and God has put those things in us, and we walk with Jesus, and we have actually become the fool instead of the wise person because we don't manage those giftings. We exhaust them all. We spend every single bit of it completely. The problem is we spend it on ourselves. So I've taken everything that I've been given, my natural aptitude, the way that God made me, my personality, these spiritual giftings, and I use them exclusively for me. So everything I do is about me. Everything I think about is about me. I make sure that if I'm good with math, then I'm going to make sure that all my accounts are in order. If I'm good with money, I am going to hold it and keep it and invest it and make more. If I'm the type of person that likes to be the life of the party, I'll get all the attention all the time at the expense of everyone else. The reason we're the fool is because we spend it all. The problem is we just spend it all on us. And this is poor stewardship. Because it isn't the way we are designed. And so if you find yourself, and I can't do this for you, only you can do this for you, led by the loving, gracious guidance of the Holy Spirit, if you find yourself fitting into that category, then I want to preach to you a little bit today. Because what I want to encourage us to do is to not spend all we have, and certainly not to spend all we have exclusively on ourselves. We want to be good stewards of what God has given us. On the other hand, there's another category of people that you've been given natural aptitudes and spiritual giftings and certain ways that God has designed you. Your problem is the same problem. You're not a good steward because you also spend all you have. Your problem is you spend it all on everyone else. So you say yes to every meeting. You serve on every team. You take every opportunity because there's something inside of you that says, well, if you don't do it, it's not spiritual. And if you don't do it, it's not godly. And your problem is that you're completely exhausted and over-leveraged and you don't have time. There's no margin. There's no space. There's no time for you. There's no time for recovery and for health because you're saying yes to everything. You're saying yes to everybody and you're doing and you're giving and you're going and you're serving and you are exhausted. And the reason you're exhausted is because you're not stewarding well. And if you find yourself in that category, I'd like to preach to you a little bit this morning. And now I'm talking, I could list names, I could show you pictures of people on this team that are those kinds of stewards. And here's the problem. That if we are not led well, we will abuse that heart. We'll just abuse it. Well, good, put them on there. Well, good, put them on. Yeah, well, all right, put them on that team too. Put them on that team. And then they call it in the church burnout. Mm-hmm. Like, I love our church and I love our mission, but bro, I've been going so hard. Like, I hate this place. Because we've not stewarded well and we've exhausted all we have on everyone else. We didn't protect ourselves. We didn't take care of ourselves. We didn't create healthy margins. We didn't find space for replenishment and refueling. On both sides of these examples is poor stewardship of the exact same type. The problem is one spends it all on others, while the other spends it all on themselves. Now, the third category would be like the truth, the balance, the good steward that recognizes, that hears, and understands that I'm a limited resource. I can only do so much. I can only give so much. There's only so much in me that can be poured out before something needs to be put back in. And that person is a good steward. They walk with wisdom because they understand balance. So they're not centralized on themselves all the time. They're not just trying to make themselves great or make themselves better or comfortable at the expense of others. They're also pouring into other people's lives and making sure that they, let me say it like this, that they sacrificially do for other people, because that's what service is, amen? Sometimes we have to get dirty with people. Sometimes we have to get into the drama with people. Sometimes we have to get into the minutiae of the details of what they're walking through, and it isn't easy to do, and it's certainly sacrificial of our own energy and our own time, but it's what God calls us to do. The problem, though, is that if I do that and do that and do that and do that, that the taker has no limit. Now, you do, but they don't. So you know you have a capacity, you have a lid, there's only so much that you can take, but they, as long as you're giving, they will take. And so what we need to do is, as good stewards, is we need to find that balance. Okay, how then am I going to balance my natural aptitudes, the spiritual giftings that the Holy Spirit's placed on the inside of me? How can I make sure that I sacrificially, lovingly, biblically serve others and make sure that I'm guarded and protected, and that when I serve others, I do it from a place that is healthy? Because sometimes it's okay to have a day off. Take a nap. Turn down the meeting. Sometimes it's okay to say to somebody, I'm not the best person to serve you in this season. Amen. This is a hard thing to preach to church folks. Because we wouldn't, like, I don't want to give everybody a license to just leave the serve team. I'm tired. Peace. It's like, well, we need you real bad, right? But at the same time, the real truth is we care more about you than your serve. So health is super important, and the only person that can manage that account for you is you. So I'm going to give you three ways that I believe we can manage this tension and become good stewards of our time, our talent, and our giftings. Is this making sense to everybody? All right, now listen, this is not exclusive, all right? I don't own the rights to this. It's just three ideas that I think will help us. All right, how then do I steward my giftings? The first way is this. I want you to write this down with me. I want to encourage you to steward your giftings in spheres of influence. You have a sphere of influence. So there are people. There are people in your life. There are people that surround you that God has put there. These are the people that you can and should pour into. So perhaps your family at home, perhaps your church family, perhaps the people at the office, or the golf course, or the boating club, or like whatever it is, right? What spheres of influence am I being called to use my giftings within? And I think it's actually important that we identify those. So let me say it this way. You're not called to everybody. Amen. That's why there's a body of Christ, because the body has different functions. And certain people have certain giftings. So there's one brother or sister in Christ that has certain giftings that you and I don't have. And that's on purpose, because they're called to serve who we can't. Amen. I feel like I'm preaching about 62% better than you're letting on. I'm going to keep going. Now, spheres of influence. Can I get on a soapbox just a second? I'm going to get right back down and I'll leave. All right, check it out. Like, I'm going to set somebody free right now. I'm going to give you freedom. Because I'm going to tell you something that you haven't understood yet, and I think it's imperative that you hear and learn. That social media isn't your sphere. Now, listen. I'm not going to be that guy. Like, I think social media is awesome. I think it can be leveraged well, used well. I'm not the guy, like, I don't, you know what I'm saying, that's trying to say, if you're on social media, you're sinning. Like, I don't even believe that. Now, I've been off social media since May completely, so if you've been trying to get me there, I ain't hearing you right now. I don't even know if I'll get back on. Maybe all my accounts are active. I don't know. We'll see. I'm just taking a break, and I'm liking it, to be honest with you. But somebody needs to hear me say that social media is not your sphere. So the reason that you keep throwing out your thoughts and your heavy opinions and you keep putting stuff out there that you firmly believe, and all it ever does is create controversy and arguments and unfollows and unfriends and all that stuff, is because it's not your sphere. They may be associated to you. They may be connected to you. They may have chosen to follow you, but the truth of the matter is they don't trust you, and they're not going to buy in to your way of thinking because they're not your sphere. Now, if you want to let me know that your wife just had a baby, I'm down. Congratulations. If you feel the need to show me your hamburger at lunch, I'll probably like that. Looks delicious. But if you're trying to win me in to your belief system about whatever it may be, chances are you're not going to get us. Why? It's not your sphere. I need to understand my sphere of influence. Where is it? Who are they? And then I need, once I identify that, that's when I go exercise my gifting. Because when I actually sow into this ground, I get fruit. Amen. Come on. All right, I'm off the soapbox. Y'all good? Yeah. Just trying to help the world be a better place. All right, amen. Amen. All right. Number two, I want to encourage you to steward your gifting in spheres of influence on relational bridges. Now, this is a term that I have fallen in love with. I got this term from my dear brother, Pastor Aldrich Callens. This is a phrase that he has used for years and years, and I really dig it, and I want to describe it a little bit. He calls them relational bridges. So, in other words, there are certain structures that can maintain certain weights. Let me give you a little silly, it's a silly example, but it's gonna work, it'll help you. Many of you know I'm a deer hunter and I'm really pretty serious about it. And so a few years back, I was hunting a particular property, and for me to be able to get from my truck into the section of the woods that I was hunting, there was a pretty good sized ditch, and it was always pretty full of water. And so deep enough, in fact, it would go over my water boots. And so I needed to find a way to get across that chasm. And so my engineering ingenuity, I saw a 2x8 laying in the backyard. And I thought, there's my bridge. Amen. And so I put my 2x8 in the back of my truck, and I drove out to those woods. And I just laid one side of it on this side of the ditch, and I just let it fall, bam, and then the other side hit the other side of the ditch, and now I had an 8-inch by 2-inch bridge that I would walk across to get to my tree stand. And it would sufficiently support me, a backpack, and a bow, and I'd walk across that bridge. Never one time, never once, did I ever attempt to drive my four-wheeler across that bridge. I was like, I'm not going to do that. And you're already laughing because you already see the point. The point is that my bridge would only sustain me. It was not going to sustain the weight of a 650-pound piece of equipment. Not only that, it's not really wide enough. Like, I don't even know if my tire would fit on it. And if I did somehow get the four-wheeler on top of it, it probably would have broke it in the middle because the bridge didn't have the structural integrity to carry the weight. I would certainly never try to drive my truck across. That thing weighs over 5,000 pounds. Okay, relationally speaking, we build bridges with people. Over time, and influence strengthens our bridges. The reason you're failing to get your point across on social media is because the bridge isn't strong enough. The reason that you keep trying to give advice to that person and they keep slamming the door and they don't want to hear it and they keep fighting back is because perhaps the bridge isn't strong enough to sustain the weight of the conversation. Amen. But over time, in the right spheres, with the right people, I can build a bridge strong enough to carry the weight of heavy conversations. And so even among our staff and our serve team, there are times that we have to have difficult conversations with people. Like, so it's not all just like fluff, and like we are actually trying to pastor you toward godliness, to walk in line with Scripture and the truth of God's Word. So there are times that we have to have sort of some tough conversations. It just is what it is. And there's a question we always ask, and the question is, who has the strongest bridge? It's become language on our team. Well, who has the strongest bridge? Well, I was connected to them in a life group. Okay, well, I've been in a couple life groups with them, and plus they serve on my team on Sunday. All right, what about you? Yeah, I've not done any of those things with them. Okay, it sounds like you are the person that has the strongest bridge, because over time, what I've done is I've built influence with you in a sphere. So what you've recognized is that I actually care about you. So I'm not trying to come to you and give you my opinion because I care about me. I'm trying to come to you and give you truth because I care about you. And once people know that they are in this for me, they actually love me. They're not attacking me. They're not coming at me because they just want to be right and point out that I'm wrong. They actually are coming to me because they care enough about me to help me see into a blind spot that I can't see, but they see. And over time, influence is built, and then the structural integrity of the relational bridge allows us to walk across this bridge together. Am I making sense?
Yes.
And so some of you, the reason you're exhausted is because you're spending your gifts and your stuff in the wrong places where you don't have either of these things. Okay. Now, I want to encourage us to steward our giftings in spheres of influence. We need to identify those. Across relational bridges, we need to see if they have the strength. And sometimes we have to test the weight with conversations. Like, hey, brother, we've never been here before, but I believe, and I would encourage you to use the language, I believe that our relational bridge, it used to be built of wood, but it's been undergirded with some steel. I think we can handle this talk. Man, I want to talk to you about something. Can I bring this? Yes, let's go, right? All right, so I'm gonna identify spheres of influence. I'm gonna pour my talent, my giftings into people across relational bridges, and I'm gonna do it. Come on, work with me, please, in Jesus' name. Rob, I might need you, brother. There it is. For kingdom purposes. So we're gonna do it in spheres of influence, on relational bridges, okay, for kingdom purposes. That's important. Kingdom purposes are important, amen. Because we've all experienced the people that utilized their giftings and they didn't utilize them for kingdom purposes. This is why every single time the church brings up money, your antennas get high. And you're trying to figure out, like, what are you trying to do? Because you've experienced people that utilized their giftings for purposes that were not for the kingdom. They were the poor stewards that wanted to use it for themselves. It's a stewardship error. It starts in the very beginning. But what we want to be are the kinds of Christ followers that say, I'm going to be a good steward. And I'm going to identify spheres of influence. And I'm going to build and establish strong relational bridges. And I'm going to make sure that when I carry conversations across those bridges, that it is for kingdom purposes, not a self-serving purpose, but for a kingdom purpose, because there's an eternal return on that investment. Amen. All right, in closing, I'm going to share just one more verse with you, and I think that it's totally appropriate for today. P.S. Next week, we're going to talk about our time a little bit, so look toward that. Here's the final verse of the day, and I'm going to close right here. Psalm 51:10. Again, I'm going to King David. Yes, I love him, so I draw from him a lot. But he says this, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Here's what I want to say to you. Some of you are listening to this message and you've recognized a stewardship flaw. Like, I'm out of balance. Okay? You might need to have some renewal. tweak. Let's put it back in order. God, help me get it in the right way. Some of you have never even thought about stewardship ever. God, create that heart in me. Help me to be balanced and healthy so I can make a difference with what you've given me in the lives of other people, but not at the detriment of my own self. Create this mindset in me. That's in the stewardship mindset, but I also believe that there are people listening to this message, whether it's in this room, church online live, whether you are listening to a playback through podcast, or you are driving down the car 3 months after this was even spoken, but the Spirit of God is speaking to you. Some of you have never made a decision to follow Jesus. It's all about you. It's been about you. And today's the day where you're like, man, I need God to create in me a new heart. This is your day. Others of us walk with Jesus, but we have just wandered. We've just kind of gotten off trail. Come on, right? It happens. Gotten some distance between us and God, and we recognize that there's a chasm between us and Him. We're just going to do some renewal today. And so as we close, with every head bowed and every eye closed right now, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask you to just hold your eyes closed for a few moments. First thing I'm going to do is just going to pray for us as stewards. And the next thing I'm going to do is I'm going to help people to meet Jesus for the very first time. So, Father, first, we just come before you as brothers and sisters, Lord God, as sons and daughters. Lord, we come before you right now, and we're asking you, Lord God, to help us to be good stewards. God, we want to steward all things well. We want to be wise. We don't want to spend all we have. We want to make sure, Lord God, that what we do is balanced. So when it comes to our money, we want to steward well. When it comes to our talent, we want to steward well. When it comes to our time, we want to steward well. God, when it comes to our mindsets, we want to steward well. So, Father, I just pray for every single one of us, no matter where we are, that you would help us, Lord God, to work toward wisdom, create or renew in us a pure heart and a right spirit that would be in line with your plan for us, Father, so we could be wise stewards of what you've entrusted to us. Now, if you're here and you're like, all right, I'm just feeling the presence of God. I need to make a decision to follow Jesus. No matter where you are, here's your moment. I'm going to invite you to say a prayer with me. That's just a simple prayer. I'm going to ask you to repeat after me. And that's it. Because I believe the Spirit of God has already done the thing I can't do, and that's change your heart. But I'm just going to help you with the language, because the Bible says if we believe in our hearts and we confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. And I believe you've already got it in your heart. I just want to help you with the language. So here's our prayer, and you guys know how we do it. If this is your church home, I ask everybody to say it, because somebody's saying it for the first time, and I want you to say it with boldness and with confidence. I want you to say, Dear Jesus, I give you my life, all of it. Come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Wash me. Cleanse me. Make me new. All that I am is yours. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, let's give God praise for those that made that decision. Congratulations. Congratulations. I love you guys.